Welcome to today's edition of Front Porch Talks. I'm Grayson Willis. Today's edition of Front Porch Talks took place on Tuesday night, July 18th, at the Nazarene Church in Bristol, Virginia. It was the third night of a three-night revival that my dad, Pastor Kerry Willis, preached there.
Yes. Thanks again to the trio. I don't know what their official name is. We call them the trio tonight. Thanks for showing up. It would have just been a sound check without you. All is well. Yeah, that's fine. Go right ahead with it. Yeah, thank you. Need all the help I can get. Well, I hope you've had a wonderful day. And if not, I hope it gets more wonderful as we go along. As promised, I got a gift card for everybody here tonight. I just hope you like Bojangles. So, I'm so glad you're here. There should be $5 on each of those. So at least you can have breakfast.
Thank you.
Good cup of coffee. I enjoyed meeting the folk at Bojangles. I thought I was there to get the cards mainly, but that's not what really turned out. I was there to minister. God put the idea of gift cards on my heart last night. I've never had that before in all my ministry. You're welcome. This one, you come right here and hang a right and go out there about 2 miles, I think. And I kept wondering what that was all about. Why I said that about a gift card. It seemed a little weird to me. I even got some take home to give out, unless some more folk come in. But I got the minister to the crew there, and I'm going to give you some of their names in case you go in there. I believe several of those would be good members here. One, especially Amber. Amber followed me to my car and asked me to pray for her and her mother after I was in there. And I was being obedient. You know, I preached on that last night. And whenever you preach on it, you just better get ready. He's going to tell you something. And I got to go home after this service because all my cash is gone. You know what I'm saying? But don't worry, I got money other places. But I'm just telling you, just tell you how the Lord works. I went in there and I ordered me a little fuel for tonight, you know, a couple of those Bowberry biscuits swimming in that, you know, that icing. And so you better watch out tonight. And then I said, I want 35 gift cards. They wanted me to show my driver's license. That was such a weird request. So I did. And I got to tell them about the church and about the revival. And they were all listening. And I went over and I didn't eat all of those Bowberries because my wife will ask me, you know, did you eat too much bad stuff when I get home? But as I was getting ready to leave, I just had a deep voice in my heart. And so I walked up to Amber and Crystal and I said, you all may get tired of eating chicken. So here's $20. Go have a pizza on me. And with that, Amber followed me to the car. And she said, I need prayer. She said, I've made some bad choices in my life. And I talked to her about how she could have a new beginning. And we prayed right there in the parking lot. She might be saved now. I can't guarantee that, but I prayed enough to where she claimed it she could be. And then it's like the Lord said, you got one more 20, don't you? You got to obey. And so I pulled my wallet out and I said, you tell Crystal to keep that 20, here's yours. And you know what she said to me? Now I'm telling you some things you don't go over there and talk about. You understand that. She said, you won't believe that God sent you here today. She said, I didn't have enough money to eat today. That's what she told me. I was hoping you'd come because I got something for you.
You got something.
I was going to give your sister. Going to give it to your sister before you left. I'm giving gift cards out. And I got one for you. If you like Bojangles, $5,
brother. Thank you.
Yes, I'm glad you're here. So anyway, I'm not bragging, you understand. I'm just living. I'm just living. And really, it's right on the line of what the Lord wanted me to preach tonight. And so, I hope that you'll hear what I'm saying, not what I'm not saying. I have some concerns as a believer when it comes to church and Christians. I have some concerns. I pray into things. I try to lead the flock the Lord has entrusted to my care. But it's amazing to me how we as believers so often do not claim our inheritance. And I'm talking about a spiritual inheritance. Jesus said to his disciples, if you want to look me up, you can. It's in John. You can start about 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. Right in those chapters. He said to his disciples, it is best for you that I go away. Because if I go away, the Comforter will come. The Spirit of Truth. In other words, Jesus was saying, I have more in mind than you have any idea about when it comes to intimacy with me. And Jesus was the physical representation of Holy God. And He gave up a few things to come and be the Savior. Now, you can work that out in your own mind. But He gave some things up. When He said that I'm going back to heaven and it's best that I go away. See, up to then, being a believer was about following Jesus. I mean, physically. The disciples followed Him. There was several occasions when people lost the physical Jesus. You can find those in the Gospels. His mom and dad lost Him at the temple. 3 days later, they found Him about His Father's business. But there was another time when the disciples got up one morning and they couldn't find Jesus, and He had gone on a prayer walk, and they finally found Him and said, Jesus, you need to come back. He said, let's go to another town. I'll preach there. So Jesus knew that there was a greater dispensation of Christianity than following Him. Now follow me. Don't leave early or you'll think I'm a heretic. Okay. Now, when the day of Pentecost came, the outside God moved to the inside. There's a whole lot of arguing over the day of Pentecost in the church. And make no mistake about it, that's the enemy's plan. Because as long as we argue about the externals of the day of Pentecost, we will never take the internals.
Listen
close. Because Pentecost was about us going from being followers, mere followers of Jesus, to being sanctuaries of His presence through the Holy Spirit. So this is what baffles me as a believer. We spend too much time talking about following Jesus in a post-Pentecost dispensation when the intimacy is much greater than following Jesus. As a matter of fact, I'll go out on a limb because I can prove it with Scripture, so I'm not worried. I think that we have forgotten that Jesus is not looking for followers mainly today. He's looking for sanctuaries that He can possess. Now, make no mistake about it, that's what happened when I walked in Bojangles today. The Spirit of the living God was possessing me as His temple, as His sanctuary, and the countenance of Christ was upon me in that place. And what we need to mainly take credit for as Christians is showing up. We don't give enough credit to simply showing up in the dispensation that we live in post after Pentecost, because if we will show up, in right relationship with God, among people, he will show off. After Amber left the parking lot today, I said to the Lord, "You're something else." You know, you are something else. That you would allow me, and I'm not omnipresent. I can't be all places at once. But I told Amber, as she headed back to Bojangles, I said, "I know I'm where I'm supposed to be today." I said, "I wasn't even going to stop here. I almost went to Burger King." But the Lord just wheeled my vehicle. I know, he just wheeled me in there. Because he said, "I'm going to speak to some folk and I'm going to speak through you so you go in that place." Now, if this is foreign to you, I apologize. But I ain't going to quit talking about it. Now, if this is your first night here, this is the revival rope. And I've been asking everybody to get yourself a rope at home or get you a piece of chalk, draw you a circle, whatever it is you want to do, and put yourself in the circle and say, "Lord, start a revival right here." Right here in my life. And I'm telling you, it's working in my life. I've been having revival all week. I don't know if it's a one-man revival. I don't know if you're having revival. I know me and Dee are, but I can't. You know, I can't spot because we've spoken about it. I just want you to know that this is revival, and this message that I am sharing here tonight, I could talk for 4 hours about it. Now I'm not, because I got to try to keep you all awake. Because it's late and it's been a long day. But I can tell you that this is where my heart beats. I only have one string on my cello, and this is it. And I'm going to wing that string all night long, as long as I can. I'll probably preach the rest of it to myself on the way home. Now, there's a scripture that you got to have in case you've never read it. It is in Philippians 2 and verse 13. It's my life scripture. It's my latest life scripture. If you still have a life scripture that you took 40 years ago, you might want to get another one. You know, hang on to that one. I mean, put that brick in the wall and claim it. But you also probably want to look to the Lord and say, "Is there another scripture that you want to give me?" And he gave me this one real recently. And let me read it to you. Now, I read a lot of translations of the Bible. If that messes you up, I'm sorry. But I'm very simple. And you know what I have to do? I have to know what the Lord is trying to say to me. Now, here is the way it reads in the God's Word translation. If you've never heard of that, this is the one Billy Graham recommended. So I reckon it has some credence. But the God's Word translation of Philippians 2:13 says, "It is God who produces in us," listen closely, "it is God who produces in us the desires and actions that please him." Now that will give you some release right there. Well, listen again. "It is God who produces in us the desires and actions that please him." And what I like to say, sometimes we spend too much time trying and too little time trusting. Asking God to have his way through his clay today. And I have such freedom in my life that if I will get with the Word and get with God and saturate in the Word and let His Spirit situate me, amen, that I can go out into the world with confidence that this verse will happen, that God will produce in me the desires and actions that please Him. Amen. And so I hope that helps you. Now, in John 15, we have this beautiful story of the vine and the branches. You know, have you heard this one? Now, you know, Jesus speaks to us often in riddles. What he's trying to do is get us to listen, get us to think. Now, I want you sometime, if you know anything about a grapevine, I want you to go study it real close, and I want you to try to figure out where the branch ends and the vine begins, vice versa. That's pretty difficult. And that's exactly what he had in mind. That's the kind of relationship that he had in mind. And Pentecost pulled it off. It's not following. It's intimacy. It's oneness. It's unity with Jesus through the Holy Spirit. This is the plan. This is our inheritance. And so in John 15 and verse 4, you hear things like this: "Abide in me and I'll abide in you." In you. You hear that? Some translations say, "Remain in me and I will remain in you." It's all about in. Dwell in my presence, and my presence will dwell in you. Stay in me, and I will stay in you. Live in my presence, and my presence will live in you. This is the promise. Are we claiming the promise? Or are we living some pre-Pentecost dispensation of Christianity and we're trying to follow Jesus still when He has set up something tighter, something more intimate? He wants to put Himself in us. Now, today I ate lunch over with my brother over in Kingsport, and one of the waitresses, she's 2 weeks from delivery. I felt bad for her. She's walking around and her feet are swelled. And she's getting ready to have a baby. And she's pretty young, so that helped me a little bit. But she's walking around. Now, I'm here to tell you that that baby is inside that mother. And she don't worry one bit about where that baby is. Do you understand what I'm saying? Intimacy. Whenever I see a pregnant lady, I think about the relationship that Jesus had in mind with us. That He wants to put Himself inside of us. Now, you go down to the toy row at the Walmart and you'll find a mother with a toddler and she can't keep up with him. He gets away from her. She loses him on occasion. Now see, that is an external relationship. Jesus died to give us an internal relationship to make sure that He could place Himself inside of us. And then we teach people things that are not of the Bible as the church. Now, don't get upset with me because I'll fix it. WWJD, Lord help us. Goodness gracious, that is pre-Pentecost dispensation Christianity. What would Jesus do? Do you know what? I don't have a clue what Jesus would do in some of the situations I find myself in. But I don't have to worry about it because I don't have a separatist theology. I have a theology where I don't have to ask what would Jesus do. Now you can still wear your bracelet. You can still put your plaque on the wall. But I got to fix one word in it for you. It's not what would Jesus do. It's what will Jesus do. He's here. You see, the enemy wants to get us to think this way, that Jesus is way over there somewhere, and we're way over here, and He's between us with a lot of confusion, and we can never figure it out. And Jesus said, don't buy that. He said, it's best for you that I go away physically, but I'm coming back spiritually. And never again will you have to wonder where I am or what I will do, because I will be living in you.
That's right.
You know what you call this? Holiness. Holiness. This world doesn't want anything to do with holiness because people have given holiness a bad name.
Great.
Holiness and self-righteousness are not the same thing. Holiness is He who knew no sin became our sin so we could become His righteousness. Self-righteousness is filthy rags. That is not holiness. Holiness is unity with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit one. Now, we don't become a part of the Trinity. Don't get too big on your head there. But we are brought in to the community of the Trinity. It's an amazing thing that we can live this close. But this is what God had in mind. There's another thing we do. Lord, help us. Forgive us, Lord. We put these plaques on our wall. Footprints in the sand. Oh, Lord, help us. I hope you're going to get on something sacred now. In case you didn't know, footprints in the sand is not in the Bible. Okay, and whenever you read it, I love what it says at the bottom, author unknown. Now, I'll tell you what, now you're going to be able to keep your home decor plaque, don't worry. I got to fix it for you a little bit. Now, in the footprints in the sand, it says, I was walking along and Jesus was carrying me. That's outside theology. Outside theology. Then all of a sudden I see one set of footprints. But you got to look quicker and closer at that one set of footprints. They are not the footprints of Jesus. They are your footprints because He's carrying you from within. What do you mean? Yeah, I mean just like if you put a diesel engine in a Volkswagen Bug, you're going to have some power inside that Volkswagen. And so when you look, you keep your home interior plaque. But whenever you look at that picture, that one set of footprints, I want you to know that Jesus ain't dropped you and you're not out there in the ocean somewhere and He's not carrying you out here like a toddler. He has moved on the inside of your life and He has become your power, your peace, your presence, your purity. Whew. Don't try to talk me out of it. Wait till we get on the sidewalk. Don't try it in here. I love this scripture in Colossians 1 and verse 27. The Apostle Paul says, Colossians 1, 27, Christ in you, the hope of glory. How much different would we live our life if we believed this? If we would believe that He's here. And you know, all we have to do is breathe. Just breathe. Just breathe. And He is the breath of life for us. He is here. Now, I don't want to talk much about this because things get stirred when I start talking about this. That's why I went back there with the pastor and had a little prayer before I came up here tonight. Because I'm going to tell you a story. I went to Frankfurt, Germany a few years ago to do a camp meeting. You didn't know they had camp meetings in Europe, did you? Yeah, they do. They rent old 1,000-year cathedrals and up on the mountainside. And they have their camp meetings up there. It's something else. Monasteries, you know, they rent them. And my wife and I got invited. And we came over, and we were pretty tired when we landed. And so the workers of the camp meeting said, now you're not going to have to preach tonight. Obviously, you're too tired. But we would like for you to come and just address the group. And just kind of tell us where we're going this weekend with the Word of God. And I thought, well, I can do that. Now, they had already emailed me and said, Pastor Kerry, I want you to know this is not your normal camp meeting. Probably half of the people on the mountain are not saved yet. They're not Christians. Oh, I knew I was coming to the right camp meeting. Ooh, I like that. I want our church to be the church for those who aren't here yet. We can be the church for one another, but I want us to have a wide enough door for whoever's not here yet can come on in. And I was going to this camp meeting where half of the people... He said, another thing, Pastor Kerry, we are going to have representation from probably 8 to 10 countries in this camp meeting. And he said, most of them are going to be under the age of 30. Oh my gracious, the future church of Europe. And there were people there from Africa. There was so many people. But see, I had underestimated. I knew what the Lord wanted me to talk about. And so I got up that night. It was dark. And I was going to speak for 10 or 15 minutes, just tell them why we're here. And I got up and I told them, I said, what we're going to talk about on this mountain this weekend is possession. Yep, it's about that quiet. And I said, when we leave this mountain on Sunday, we will get to choose who possesses our lives. Not just whose possession we are, but who has possession of us. And it was quiet. And Kim and I went in the very back room where they had set us aside, two twin beds. That's the way they set you up here. And Kim was against one wall, and I was against another, and I tucked her in, and we retired, and I got in my bed. And in the middle of the night, the only thing I can tell you is in our room, all hell broke loose. My wife, who doesn't have nightmares, these are not common for her, she was screaming to the top of her lungs. I went over to where she was. I tried to comfort her. I said, you're dreaming. She said, I am not dreaming. There is a presence in this room. I get cold chills right now thinking about it. And I finally got her calmed down good enough to where I got her in my little twin bed and I pushed her against the wall and I got in with her. And she finally fell off asleep and I went in prayer because I realized that a few hours earlier upstairs, when I had said to the people in that room, we're going to talk about possession, there was a spirit that wasn't happy about that. But I want you to know the good news. When daylight came, there was only one spirit on that mountain. And it was the Holy Spirit. It was the Holy Spirit. And you know what? Jesus, every time He met a demon-possessed person, He cast that demon out of that body. Do you know why? That is the highest form of worship, is allowing the Spirit of the living God to possess your body, to possess your life. And the devil's been trying to get the Lord's worship ever since He left heaven. And that's why he is trying to possess people, because he tried to get Jesus to worship Him, and he wants us to worship Him. This is serious.
Yeah.
This is not child's play. But I'm here to report. You don't have to settle for an evil possession.
That's right.
you can have a holy possession.
Yes.
Because we were created to be possessed by the Spirit of God. That's why, that is worship, my friends. Don't you be arguing over what kind of music's being sung. That's foolish. That is foolishness. Just quit it. Stop it. Stop it. That's preference. I'm going to tell you what worship is. Worship is when the Spirit of the living God has taken full control of your life. And He don't care what kind of music you sing as long as you point in His direction.
Amen.
I said it. I'm the gorilla. This is the last night I preach. What you going to do? Fire me. Okay. I'm just telling you. This is the way I preach to my people. And they understand it. That we're not going to argue over pettiness and foolishness. We are going to be possessed by the Spirit of the living God. And I tell them, if you don't like our music, stick around a while. We'll get to one you know. Just hang here long enough. We'll get to one you like. As a matter of fact, you're not the object of our worship. God is. So we're going to ask Him how He feels about it, not how you feel about it.
Amen.
You know, I worry about people that argue over this kind of pettiness, who possesses them. You know, it's a really scary thing when you see carnality masquerading as spirituality.
Listen.
Be real careful about that, because you might be close to being possessed by the wrong spirit.
That's right.
Whew. Sanctification, holiness, it's not about having our sins forgiven. That's salvation. Sanctification is about having our attitudes of self-centeredness purified.
Bullseye. Amen.
Lord, do it again. Now, what I love about holiness is we believe in being saved and being filled and many refillings. Because we leak. We're jars of clay. And I told the Lord just this last week, Lord, I've been leaking. I need a refilling. Bring your Spirit. And if you pray that, He'll do it. Because that's worship for Him. When He comes and He fills our lives, that's the highest form of worship that we can give to Him, to be possessed by His presence. You know, old Bob Dylan back in the day, you know a little something about what he was saying? He said, you got to serve somebody. It might be the devil or it might be the Lord, but you got to serve somebody. Do you know what he meant by that? We were created to be possessed. We were created for worship. And we're either going to serve ourselves, or we're going to serve the devil, or we're going to serve the world, or we're going to serve Jesus. I choose Jesus. I choose Jesus. Woo! Yeah. Praise God. Blast off here in a minute. And John 17 and verse 26. I'll tell you, if I can only have one chapter in the Bible, do you know what chapter it is? I mean, if the guards were to show up at your house and say, we need all your Bibles, do you know what chapter you'd rip out? I tell you, I know. I'd take my X-Acto knife and I'd open my Bible and I'd go to John 17. I'd slide that page right out, fold it up and put it under the carpet. Because that's the most beautiful chapter in the Bible to me. Yeah. This is Jesus praying to the Father and telling Him what He wants for us. And you know what he says in there? Oh, Father, that they may be one just like you and I are one. Make them one with us. That's holiness. That is holiness. That we would be made one with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Jesus was asking for this. As a matter of fact, I don't know if you have communion scheduled Sunday, but maybe you could think about it. Our people don't think the same about communion anymore since I shared this. I've served communion a lot. You know, and I don't want it to become ritualistic. I want it to be meaningful every time. And I pray about it. I say, Lord, what can I say about communion? And one Sunday I was praying, or somewhere I was praying, and I said, you know, I think the Lord has explained communion to me on the most basic level. You know, we make big theology about communion, and I'm sure it is all that, you know. But one day I was praying, and I was reading through John 17, and I got to the last verse of John 17. And it's Jesus praying to the Father, and He's bringing His prayer to a screeching halt. And don't you, at the end of your prayer, just accent what you're really asking for? And that's what Jesus does. The very last verse of John 17 in the NIV, the Nazarene-inspired version, no, the New International Version, here's what it says. Seven words at the end of John 17, Jesus praying to the Father, that I myself may be in them. Wow. And the Lord said to me, when I passed that cup that night to my disciples, and I passed that bread, and I said, this is my body Take it and eat it. And this is my blood. Take it and drink it. At the basic level, Carrie, what I was saying was that if I can get myself inside of you, that will be the secret. And every time we take communion, my wife and I take it together. Usually my son, if he's there, adult son comes. And they can tell you what I say. I take that cracker and I put it on my tongue and I say out loud, Christ in us, the hope of glory. And then I take that juice and I pour it down my throat and I say that I myself may be in them. I'll tell you, friends, communion, I want to have it every Sunday. I did go through 1 year. For 6 months, we had it every Sunday. People didn't know what we were doing. I said, how can this be meaningless? This is powerful stuff. I know it's symbolic, but there's a lot of truth in symbolism. That's why we're baptized, you know. I believe baptism, something happens in the water. I can't explain what. But, you know, baptism is an outward sign of an inward work. You're testifying to the world. You're declaring the spiritual darkness, I belong to Jesus now. And when you take communion, what you're saying is, I want to go from being a mere follower of Jesus and I want to be possessed by His presence. You say, Pastor, you don't know how bad I want that. I got some good news for you. You don't want it as bad as He does. This is why He died. This is why He died. To bring communion, the culmination, to complete it. I was going to write some stuff on this board, but I already said it all. I ain't got time to write it. I ain't going to write nothing. Now, I'm going to finish now because I know it's the last night and I don't want to take advantage of you. And 3 or 4 of you asleep already. Okay, look. Let me, and I don't take that personally. I take that as a compliment. You can rest while I'm preaching. Yeah, I think that's good. Listen, I was at this thing on the mountain where the big castle thing was, monastery. And at the end of the week, let's just say we had revival on the mountain. So people came there, didn't know Jesus, and they left filled with Him. They were signing up. Praise God. And there was a young girl there from Rwanda, Africa. Her name was Eunice. She was real quiet. She sat in the back and didn't talk much. She reminds me of you a little bit. I didn't know what Eunice was thinking, but I knew the gears of her brain were turning. And 2 days later, after this event had finished, her pastor, who had been at the event, came to me and said, do you remember the little girl sitting in the back from Rwanda? I said, Eunice. He said, yeah. He said, this is a letter from her. She wanted to make sure you got it. Let me read you Eunice's letter. Hello, my name is Eunice. I'm glad to hear you preaching. I was born again when I was 11 years old. But after, I've been always trying to follow Jesus and just imitate Him. It's okay to imitate Jesus, but there's more. We can have intimacy with Him, you see. And I've been talking about that on the mountain. She said, but I've seen I couldn't be like Him. So I have begun to pray that He may reveal Himself to me, because I was thinking that the reason I cannot reflect Him as He is that I don't know Him as He is. I thought I will never be able to be like Jesus because I tried everything and I failed. So I was praying to Him, please show me what I can do next. And in this camp meeting, it's worth flying to Germany, this letter right here. In this camp meeting, I've learned that I don't have to try to be like Him. I have to let Him live in me and show the world who He is. I'm not just His friend now, I'm His bride. I'm excited for this new relationship. I've always wanted God to be glorified in everything I do, but I didn't know how or what or how to have it. I really thank God for the message He gave to you. It was exactly what I needed. God bless you tonight. She would have no idea that her letter was being read and that her life was bearing fruit tonight. Thank you, Jesus, for your faithfulness. Tonight, I'm going to invite you. I don't know where you are or what you need. I don't know, Brother David, if you can pull up that Holy Spirit song you played one night. I for whatever reason, I can't get it off my mind. I got a lot more to say about this. I'm trying to write a full book on it. I don't think I'll ever finish it. I think it's just for me, maybe. But I'll tell you, friends, this is the reason I drove to Bristol. Because I get to share the best good news in the world. The first night, I preached on revival. The second night, I preached on obedience. And in case you wonder what I preached on tonight, I preached on holiness. And it's all by faith. It's believing that He's able to give what He planned on. Remember what I said one night? There's no greater sin than not to believe God can give what He's promised. And so all we do is take Him at His word. And He will bring the witness in your life. He'll let you know. That fruit will begin to grow from your life. That fruit of the Spirit. You won't be able to help yourself. I mean, you just won't be able to help yourself. Because His Spirit will grow plentiful from your life. And other people will eat from the fruit of your life. And you'll go to Bojangles. And people will taste and see that the Lord, He's good. Woo! Praise God. Lord, tonight we bow our heads. And as we have the song tonight, I don't know how to have people to respond. I'll let Brother David speak into that if he'd like to. But we do have some altars. And we can turn our chair into an altar. That's a good place to kneel. And if we can't kneel, we can put our face in our hands. And you meet us where we are. It's not our posture physically. It's the trajectory of our heart that matters. Man looks on the outward, but you look on the heart. And I pray tonight that some people in this room that may not have understood that this inheritance of intimacy is for them too, that they will trust and they will taste and they will come to know that the Lord is good. His presence in us and us in His presence, that is the story of holiness.